Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. How we doing, everybody? Happy Monday. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Coming your way this hour. We've got your best audio of the day, including Don Cherry going off, not Don Cherry a la mode, the actual Don Cherry going off on the exorbitant, extreme, highly choreographed Carolina Hurricanes post-game celebrations, calling them all jerks. We'll play that audio coming up for you, coming up in about 15 minutes from now. Also later on in this hour, we have got Alliance Primetime. I found this interesting. When you look at the NFL's website, NFL.com, front page story, watch highlights from the San Diego Fleet win. That's the main story. The main story of NFL.com, watch highlights from the San Diego Fleet win, which is somewhat interesting because as much as I enjoyed watching three of the four games this weekend, indeed, I found time to watch three of the four Alliance football games this weekend, which is, again, another 3-for-4 weekend, meaning I've watched 6 of the 8 Alliance football games through the first 2 weeks. I need more of a life. Over the weekend, we had Colin Kaepernick settle with the NFL after a collusion case and Antonio Brown call out Ben Roethlisberger's sexual assault allegations. With all due respect to NFL.com, I know they're playing the league rules here. I think there's bigger football stories than the San Diego Fleet highlights. I'm just saying. I'm sorry, Mraz. I'm just saying.
That was a big fourth quarter comeback. You thought the legends had him on the ropes. Jaquan Gardner, man.
So let's talk about AB. Because Antonio Brown last week waved goodbye to the Pittsburgh faithful. Goodbye. I will not be playing for you anymore. It's been real. I got to get out of here. And everyone said, well, Antonio Brown, you don't get to control that. You can say goodbye. You can say it's time for something new. You can say it's time for a fresh start, but you don't get to dictate those terms because you're under contract, my friend, and the Steelers would have to trade you. And right now, they don't want to trade you, seemingly. Or if they do end up trading you, they'll do it on their time and get their cost and their price. And AB was like, oh, yeah? Watch me now. Antonio Brown said on Twitter Saturday, let's do an AMA, ask me anything, at which point the Steelers' heads probably exploded. No. Don't ask AB anything. So one of his followers asked on Twitter, what caused the conflict between you and Ben Roethlisberger? Antonio Brown answered, no conflict, just a matter of respect. Mutual respect. He has a owner mentality, like he can call out anybody, including coaches. Players know, but they can't say anything about it. Otherwise, they meal ticket gone. It's a dirty game within a game. Hashtag truth.
I'm not on Twitter or Facebook right now.
All right, so let's bend through this here. Number one, no conflict, just a matter of respect. I don't know if I would agree with that. I think there's some conflict here. AB can dress it up nice, But clearly there's conflict. I understand what he's saying, and I believe that Roethlisberger has been poor in this way. Roethlisberger can call out players on the practice field, in the meeting rooms, in the huddle. Don't make it public. Because when you make it public, you are trying to publicly embarrass somebody. Because either A, you just feel like you're impenetrable, or B, you're feeling like that's the way to motivate. And I don't feel that's the way to lead. I don't think you gain a lot of respect by calling out guys publicly in that spot. And so Roethlisberger doing this weekly radio show is not helping, in my mind, them win. And if that's ultimately what this is about, being a leader and winning, I think he's doing a pretty poor job of that. I think also you have to take the high road sometimes as a quarterback. If everybody's following you and you want to be a true leader, you've got to take the high road sometimes. I think Ben does not do that a lot. You'll never hear Tom Brady grouse about Randy Moss, but he didn't win a Super Bowl with Randy Moss. Randy became temperamental by the end. Think of how many temperamental wide receivers Drew Brees has played with. He does not publicly rip them or publicly grouse about them. I think there's true leadership, and throwing guys under the bus publicly is not the best way to do that. So I agree with him here in that he wants to call out players, he wants to call out coaches, but everybody knows they can't say the same thing about Ben or else their meal ticket is gone. I assume by that he means the Steelers will ship you out or Ben will stop throwing you the ball or get you fired. Okay. The dirty game within the game from Antonio Brown. Hey, there's politics in all jobs. We've all had to navigate landmines at work based on bosses who like us, bosses who don't, HR people that like us, HR people that don't, GMs, market managers, people that oversee your factory, your office, your school, your hospital, your place of work. We've all had to navigate this stuff. Does it happen in the NFL? Of course, the same thing happens in the NFL. Why would you expect otherwise? It's human beings employing other human beings. But in this case, there's a lot of power, influence, and money and fame that come along with it. So there's even more. All of this I can get down with Antonio Brown. And if AB has a problem with Ben Roethlisberger and is asked a direct question and gives a direct answer, hey, how can I hate him on that? And at this point in time, the Steelers are probably going, all right, enough is enough. Now we've got to trade Antonio Brown because now he's emptying baggage onto the streets. He is the crazy person throwing the luggage out of the streets as people are looking at this fight go on inside the home. You're like, what are those couple? What's that couple doing? What are those people fighting about? But he wasn't done there. AB then liked a tweet regarding Ben Roethlisberger's sexual assault allegations. And once that happens, he gone. It's over. He gone. You can't cite Ben Roethlisberger's sexual assault allegations and like that tweet and not expect you to be shipped out as soon as possible. I just asked Steve Berline this question. Steve Berline, CBS Sports NFL analyst. I asked him, does this mean that AB has played his last down as a Steeler?
There's no doubt that with what he's done this past weekend, burning all the bridges and calling people out like he is, there's absolutely no way. And he's just kind of confirmed everything that he's going through a really bad cycle right now, making some bad decisions, and I don't think it's going to be something that can be fixed in Pittsburgh. And hopefully, he'll get his act together and move on, and end up having some productive years wherever he ends up.
They got to trade Antonio Brown, and I wish it didn't play out this way in 2019, because right now Antonio Brown is a toddler. Right now, Antonio Brown is a toddler who wants his lollipop, and he's not getting the lollipop, and so he is going to scream and throw blocks and kick Legos and break everything he can until he gets his lollipop. That's what he's doing. It's immature. It's ridiculous. It's unbecoming. But it's going to work. Because in 2019, that's how you do this. You rattle enough cages. You take down enough people to where you become untenable and they have to trade you. Let's face it. Ben Roethlisberger is probably telling his GM right now, trade his ass today. You can't imagine, you can't believe that Roethlisberger's totally fine with his wide receiver liking tweets publicly about his sexual assault past. You can't tell me that Ben's like, don't worry, we can work through this. No way. Ben's definitely not happy with this. I'm guessing Ben says, you know what? We got Juju Smith-Schuster, and we've had Santonio Holmes, and we've had Mike Wallace, and we've had Plaxico Burress, and I'll find the next guy. You watch. We've done this before. And he's not wrong. I mean, that's the problem here for Antonio Brown. Does he want a new place to play? Fine. I'm usually about player empowerment. Fine. You want to go somewhere else? You feel like you're not loved? Okay. I would say careful what you wish for. But the Steelers have proven this time and time again. Plax, Santonio, Mike Wallace, and now AB. They just keep finding the next wide receiver. They'll be fine, thank you. They will be, and Antonio Brown's a great talent. But he's combustible, he's volatile, and right now he's a toddler. And he's gone scorched earth. He's burned the bridges. He's burned the boats. It's over. You got to trade him. Last week when he said it's time for a fresh start, everybody said, well, the Steelers don't have to trade you. Today, they have to trade him. It's over. He's gone DEFCON 5. That's it. It's over. Got to trade him. What do you get back for him? I don't think you get a 1. Maybe you do. If you can get a 1 for a 30-year-old wide receiver, God bless. I don't think you're going to get a 1 because everybody in the league knows now you have to trade him. And AB, again, careful what you wish for. You're playing in an offense that plays to your strengths with a quarterback that's coming off a 5,000-yard season from a quarterback who has won multiple Super Bowls in an organization that's annually a contender. We'll see how much you like playing on teams that don't matter. But at this point in time, he called everyone's bluff. They don't have to trade you. Now they do. Because he's just going to keep doing this. And what? He's just going to leave everybody's baggage out there to dry for everyone? I mean, that's not going to work for the Steelers. When we come back here on the DA Show, a little sound check, your best audio of the day, including Don Cherry melting down over the Carolina Hurricane celebrations. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Now get zapped while the sun is out.
Love you bringing the knowledge to the city, but it's a little cornbread over there.
They're afraid to be great. They're afraid to be great, man. Yeah, I can just let loose here.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
We appreciate you being with us. Remember, there's a show within the show. That's the PGP, the Permission Granted Podcast, which you can download on the normal iTunes DA Show feed or other places. Podcasts are available. And it has its own iTunes feed as well. That's the PGP, the Permission Granted Podcast. Tonight at 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific, tune into CBS Sports Network for College Hoops action. With the top two teams of the Patriot League battle it out on the hard court, it's the defending conference champ Bucknell hosting Lehigh on the 24-hour home of CBS Sports.
CBS Sports Spectacular, yeah!
Wow. Wow. Is that right? Huh. That's usually a signature of Pete the Body Bilotti playing that. Mraz hates that little old-school CBS jingle. He usually does it just to taunt Mraz. Today, Bilotti is out, leaving young Dan Silverman, one of the diaper D-aliens, in charge of the drops, and he pushed it right at Mraz as well. Not to mention, in the pre-show meeting, another diaper D-alien, Zimmerman, a.k.a. Zim, started throwing some haymakers at Mraz during the pre-show meeting. Let me tell you, the kids are showing no respect to the Thictator, none whatsoever today.
Yeah, you know, Mike's just constantly throwing jokes, and you were openly laughing, which I thought was a little disrespectful to me in the pre-show meeting. It's a little too loose a clubhouse. I'm not exactly Dirk Nowitzki my last All-Star game here. What are we doing? Can we relax?
I don't know. It suggests a lack of respect for you, Mraz.
Am I like Ben Roethlisberger now? People look at request trades to get away from me? I'm no leadership?
Garbage!
I think they're throwing spitballs at you. You got no control of the locker room.
Look, this is going to be typical me deflecting. At least I'm here and not taking off after every WWE pay-per-view like some people I know.
Come on, Damon. Wake up.
Look, let's just address the elephant in the room here. Pete the Body Bilotti was out the Monday of Radio Row Week. If you listen to the PGP, you heard the deep dive into this. He took off the Monday of Radio Row. Okay? He was back Tuesday through Friday. He has taken off another Monday today.
But I was a baby.
The question becomes, is there a common thread here? And it appears there is. A little snooping, sniffing, diving uncovered that these two Mondays share the morning after a late-night, big-time WWE pay-per-view event.
What?
Look, you have 12 pay-per-view events throughout the year. I think there's one a month. He is now 2-for-2 to start the year on that. Mind you, the first full calendar year where he controls days off and scheduling.
Pete the Body Bilotti, who is a huge wrestling fan, happened to, coincidentally, take off the Monday after, what was that, the Royal Rumble?
I believe the Royal Rumble, and last night was the gas chamber, is that what they call it?
No, International Waters.
Oh, the Elimination Chamber, not the International Waters. All I know is WrestleMania is in New York in 2 months. I think Pete's going to be out 2 weeks for that.
Wait, last night was the Elimination Chamber.
Yeah, something about people hanging in pods and coming out.
Yep.
Cells and everything else.
There's four corners of the cage. I've been educated by Zim on this. Four corners, cage, pods. You can see who's in there. And then, boom, they all come out. And obviously, it's a tap-out scenario. Nobody is thrown over like a Royal Rumble because it's a cage.
Ah, great. Good time. So that's why Pete isn't here today.
But Zim is here, and Zim watched some of this last night.
Yeah, also hacking off a friend's WWE network, not exactly paying premium price.
Don't say that in the public airways.
Okay. Oh, come on. Nobody's paid for Netflix in years.
Don't say that. The WWE offices could come and take him down. But anyway, there is a common thread here. There's been two pay-per-view WWE events in 2019. The morning after, Pete has been out on both Mondays, and this is the first full calendar year, he controls scheduling.
Very bland.
Yeah, who knew Pete was such a big President's Day fan? Get serious.
Look, this will have to be tackled.
Also, reports telling me, and by reports I mean Silverman or Borda, Pete out this Friday and next Monday as well, doing a little four-day wraparound in February. This guy, if he has any days left over the summer, something is definitely awry here.
Okay, well, that's at least not a wrestling event that he would be off for, I don't think. They can't have back-to-back wrestling events.
No, but the point is, I mean, this guy is burning through days like nobody's business. And there's nobody there, so checks and balances.
This is what happens.
This is why he wanted, quote-unquote, management.
He's got the power now.
Got the power. He also sent out an email Friday stating that he'd be out and nobody would bother him for 3 days.
Look, International Waters, whatever that event was last night, that's a big deal. Don't bother him. Let's get to your best audio of the day. It is time for Soundcheck.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Steve Spurrier, head coach of the Orlando Apollos, is now 2-0 on the season with a raucous comeback over the San Antonio Commanders in what is already being labeled as perhaps the Alliance Game of the Year yesterday afternoon. Spurrier discussing the Commanders' home field advantage and comparing it to Rocky Top.
I think it was just as loud as Rocky Top, to tell you the truth. And I know the Swamp is maybe a little bit louder than here, but their fans are into it. They really were. They did a super job for San Antonio.
Okay, so I love all of this. Number one, Steve Spurrier calling San Antonio San Antone. I love that. I'm here for all of that. Number two, Steve Spurrier, I can't tell if he's being sarcastic, but the San Antonio crowd is the best crowd we've seen thus far in the Alliance. Is that right, Mraz? It's the only dome.
Yeah, it's a shame they got to play so many road games down the stretch. They've already burned two home games. But yeah, it's the only dome. They're loud. The whole lower bowl's filled. They're into it. They're doing first down chants. It's great.
That's, I think, the best crowd we have so far in the Alliance. That's the fan base that took root earliest. But I don't know, is he being sarcastic or is he trying to sell the Alliance? Because if he's trying to sell the Alliance, I'm even more for it.
I think it's both. I think he's trying to sell the Alliance while knowing that anybody listening in SEC country knows he's throwing shade at Rocky Top.
Ah, okay. So this is also a shot at Tennessee fans.
Right. They're loud, but Tennessee prides himself on being so loud. But I'm just going to tell you, an Alliance crowd is just as loud as you guys.
Right, yes. Exactly right. Oh, 102,000 people in Neyland Stadium. Well, this San Antonio Commanders crowd, San Antone, just as loud, in fact.
28,000 inside the Alamo Dome.
Spurrier being part of the Alliance is great. And by the way, Orlando's offense is nasty. We'll talk about this in Alliance primetime, but that was the game of the season so far. It was truly, I had so much fun watching that game. David Stern, former NBA commissioner.
If Colin Kaepernick was a basketball player, would he have a job right now?
Yes.
Why doesn't he?
Individual choice. When the President of the United States makes a big deal about something, it may intimidate you to say, well, maybe I don't need that problem. You know, when I have a choice, maybe not Colin Kaepernick. But I always said he should have been suspended and he'd be playing. That's it.
Yeah, that would have been it.
That would have been it.
So I guess David Stern is suggesting that the owners of the NFL will kowtow to political pressure or public pressure more than the NBA. Perhaps that's true. I don't know. But it's a little weird for David Stern to now say, oh, yeah, Kaepernick would have a job in the NBA. Because while times may have changed for the NBA, there was a point in time where Craig Hodges and Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf had problems with the anthem and the American values that it supposedly represented, and the NBA was not happy with those guys. And finally, Anthony Davis. Sorry, this is Don Cherry. We swapped this out. Don Cherry talking about the Carolina Hurricanes. They've got this orchestrated celebration after wins on the ice. They all come out of the ice after the game is over and the opponent's gone into the locker room. And they choreograph these huge Cirque du Soleil celebrations. Here's Don Cherry from Hockey Night in Canada.
These guys, to me, are jerks. You have to do this in the National. They're still not drawn. This is to me, and I'll tell you one thing, they better not do this in the playoffs. What I don't understand is Brendan Moore is a street shooter. He always was. This is a joke. The rest of the guys, young men expressing themselves for joy of winning. You don't do this thing in the net. It's professional hockey. One of these guys are jerks or something. And I'll tell you one thing, they do this in the playoffs, making fun of the other team.
But nobody's out on the ice. The game's over. I admit, I always liked your theory of when you celebrate when you win only. That's why you liked Muhammad Ali, whereas Sugar Ray Leonard did the
before. Now, you don't, if you want to do it before. But right. That is absolutely ridiculous. I know the rest of the people. I know all the broadcasters and everything are afraid to say something like that. They're jerks doing it.
I kind of like it.
I know you. Well, you're lucky. The weatherman, you know what I mean? I know what I'm talking about. You never do anything like that. They're still not drawn. They're a bunch of jerks as far as I'm concerned.
I know what I'm talking about. They're a bunch of jerks. A lot of jerks over there. Wearing that Carolina Hurricane sweater. Nobody's showing up. They're a bunch of jerks. I mentioned they're jerks. Bunch of jerky jerkersons over there. I mean, Don Cherry saying they're a bunch of jerks like 13 times is the best part about that, because it's such an old man thing. They're just a bunch of jerks. Yeah, that guy, he cut me off. He's a jerk. He's a bunch of jerks. Those guys can keep being jerks with themselves because they're a bunch of jerks over there. You hear me? And they're still not drawn. He's got to keep putting that in there. And still nobody cares about hockey over there. They're a bunch of jerks. The fans are jerks. The players are jerks. The coaching staff's jerks. I feel like going to a soda jerk right now. The next thing Don Cherry rails about, I just hope he uses jerks as many times. By the way, Dan Silverman tells me that Carolina Hurricanes are now selling t-shirts that say bunch of jerks, which I love. Now I want that t-shirt. Bunch of jerks over there. They're jabrones. They're jerks. Mraz, you're Don Cherry a la mode, our version of a hockey insider. Do you like the Carolina Hurricanes ostentatious overboard celebration?
Yeah, they're having fun, and I think this stems from what we saw pregame with actual actors, not players, of the Vegas Golden Knights last year. So now this is post-fun. Let's have some fun. We're playing hockey in Carolina. They're winning for once. They're on the cusp of the playoffs. Have some fun. Do the limbo. Play fake bowling. Do a clap after the game. Who cares? Who cares? It's good for the game.
They're a bunch of jerks.
A bunch of jerks.
You like a bunch of jerks.
I like, if anybody's going to be a jerk. I love it.
I mean, the one good thing I would say is that we're talking hockey. We rarely talk regular season hockey. We'll talk about the playoffs, but so it works in that regard. But I don't know. It is kind of jerky. I mean, it's so much. It's like so much choreography that goes into it. It doesn't feel very in the moment.
Imagine them doing that after winning a Stanley Cup. Be great.
Bunch of jerks over there. All right, when we come back, Alliance Primetime. Bogish is Chris Berman. Mraz is Tom Jackson. Myself is some type of hybrid Bill Pito, Mike Florio. It's week two. All of your highlights of the Alliance packaged just like NFL Primetime used to be, complete with nicknames and songs. It's next, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
We are the glitch in the simulation.
You know, Aaron Rodgers broke his heart. Hashtag stay away from me, buddy. A video that, you know, I've gone to psychological counseling for.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
We're glad you decided not to get away from us, buddies. Thanks so much for being with us. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. The show you can watch on any device at watchda.com. And that includes the best of video clips available on YouTube, so you can watch the DA show's best of clips every single day on YouTube and our Facebook page, facebook.com/TheDAShow. Doing More brought to you by The Home Depot, next generation of home improvement, everything that you need to do project smarter. The Home Depot, more saving, more doing. Taking a look at a player doing more for his team, Garrett Gilbert, despite his own team's Twitter handle calling him Blaine Gabbert. The Apollo's quarterback becomes the first player in Alliance history to throw for 300 yards in a game. The long and storied Alliance history of 8 games. The former Longhorns quarterback accumulated 393 in the best game, arguably, ever in Alliance history. Arguably. I think I'm slated to do an NFL Films top 10 episode on this. The best 10 games in Alliance history, even though there's only been 8
You're taping on Wednesday?
We got to tape after next week because there's only been 8 games played. The Commanders go down to the Apollos 37-29 in front of 29,000 Raucous Road fans. The Apollos move to 2-0. So, we here on the DA show do have a real affinity for this league. It's quirky. It's fun. It's football. They sent us gear. We're kind of all in on this. And so we promised you a fun way to follow this league. I can't believe this. I have watched 6 of the 8 football games in this league over the last 2 weeks. And let me tell you, my wife is not happy. She comes home last night after a work trip. steps into the house. Me and two of my buddies are at the place, at the crib, watching Alliance. And she said, wow, so we're doing this?
Bunch of jerks.
And I said, yes, we're a bunch of jerks. We're a bunch of jerks watching the Alliance here. And I'm sorry you thought football was over, but honey, it is just not. I am sorry to tell you, it is not. But fear not, there's only 8 more regular season weeks after this, and then a 2-week postseason. So after that, you're home free. So we're going to do an Alliance primetime on Mondays, where Andrew Bogish plays the role of Chris Berman, and Mraz plays the role of Tom Jackson. And it's beautiful, and it's set to music, and you will love it. If you didn't catch it last week, here's week number 2 of Alliance primetime.
The DA Show is dusting off the old tapes. We're doing highlights the way it used to be. It's Bogush.
He's lit up. My goodness.
It's Mraz.
And he's in for a Birmingham touchdown.
It's DA.
And it's caught for the touchdown. The Orlando special.
The Philly special. But it's the winter.
It's Alliance primetime. And it starts now.
It's week 2 in the Alliance. It was so good the first time around. We did it again this last weekend. Bogish, Mraz, DA has all of the ins and outs around the Alliance. After 2 weeks and 8 games, I'm even wearing makeup this time around. That's how important things have gotten in the AAF. Maybe this weekend feature the greatest game in league history, but first we begin in Birmingham. The Iron, so sweet to spot the Stallions. 9 points. Then the rally began.
End over end punt. And now it's ripped out. The ball is free. They're chasing it. And the Iron are on it in the end zone. And it's a touchdown, Birmingham.
Shahid Tim Salmon swimming upstream to get the fumble recovery and get the Iron rolling.
And after that Salmon recovery, Bogus, you could tell there was something fishy in the air when it came to special teams all afternoon long in Birmingham.
Fumbled punts, muffed punts, missed field goals, which we'll get to in just a second. First things first, though, the Birmingham offense making good on the special teams points.
Give it to Richardson. And did he get across? It is a touchdown, Birmingham. The Iron has the lead.
Of course it's a touchdown. It's Trent Richardson alive and well in black and silver.
You know, Bogus, did you hear about the tax increase in Birmingham?
I didn't.
It's all for the Trent Richardson revitalization project. Whoa. And it is off and running with 3 touchdowns through the first 2 weeks.
That one put his Iron ahead 12-9. But Salt Lake City had a chance to tie.
The snap is good. The hold is good. Bertolette's kick is on its way, and it is no good. He hooked it left, and the Iron are a couple of snaps away from getting to 2-0.
Taylor Bertolette, walked back to Salt Lake City. Kicker suck in the Alliance as well. That was his 3rd missed field goal of the game. 12-9. Iron win. They're 2-0. The Stallions are 0-2, Shawnee.
Yeah, it's tough sledding for Dennis Erickson up in the great state of Utah. And you have to wonder if going with Bertolette's going to end up being known as the mistake by Salt Lake.
Get me to Get me to Memphis. Mike Singletary's team actually scored points this weekend.
This is going to be Stacy leads it. Tackle in the backfield. Cuts inside. Zach Stacy in for the touchdown. First TD of the season for Memphis.
Zach Stacy making mama proud.
Stacy's mom has got it going on. He scores touchdowns and we've waited so long.
I didn't know there was a second verse. His Express, an 18-6 lead. On the hot shots in the fourth quarter, but 12 points, nothing for Arizona.
Quick throw, complete, trying to get in the end zone, and he does. Rashad Ross, 2 touchdowns last week, gets the first one tonight.
It's from John Walford, and he was just warming up.
Third and goal for Arizona. Walford to throw, complete, over the middle, Tim Cook, touchdown, hot shots.
Walford, I think, heard you say Jarrell Presley was MVP favorite after week 1. 2 big fourth quarter touchdown throws yesterday. Or Saturday, excuse me.
Hey, look, and you know how they're feeling in Arizona with its 2-0 starting that comeback. John Walford and the boys, how they feeling, Bogish?
Hot, hot, hot.
Ole, 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 ole.
No, that's it. Now we're done. We go third verse the first time around. We should have a pre-show meeting, it seems like, huh? Think Berman and TJ just winged it?
Hey, look, it's week two. We're only going to get better come week three.
Stacy, by the way, in this 2018 loss to Arizona, first 100-yard game in AAF history. Now we're on to Sunday, a day of reckoning in San Antonio. The Apollos, the Commanders, as good of a week two matchup as you're going to get in any league in this great country. Somebody was going to lose. It wasn't San Antonio at first. Kenneth, Mia, Farrow, 2 for 2, making prime time, but all he was doing was setting up the latest rally in the Alliance. San Antonio led Orlando 29-17 late third quarter. Another 12-point lead, though, wasn't good enough.
Open man catch! Touchdown! Jalen Marshall! And we are tied up.
And this is exactly what I've been talking about all through training camp and into the season. When it comes to Steve Spurrier, he is now turning Garrett Gilbert and Jalen Marshall into Joe Montana and Jerry Rice. This is a tandem we will be telling our grandkids about early in the Alliance.
I was thinking more John Taylor, just to keep ourselves under wraps, not get too excited, but you're right, it's Rice.
We are Marshall when it comes to the Orlando offense.
Let that one sink in. And now some defense. A go-ahead 39-yard pick six. It's Orlando that gets to 2-0, 37-29 in San Antonio. 29,000 people in the Alamo Dome yesterday.
A game of the year. I don't care if grandma was stirring her sauce. I don't care if the chicken cutlets were frying. If you weren't in front of the TV watching this game and seeing Keith Reese's Pieces Reaser return that pick six and change the whole complexion of the Alliance season now, that's a San Antonio defeat. You wonder if they can recover from out west, but the Apollos are rolling. What a win for Spurrier's crew.
Last but not least, my fleet hosting the Legends of Atlanta. The road team scored first.
Sims gets another snap from the shotgun, goes over the middle, caught, and touchdown, Legends! Malachi Jones, 19 yards!
That's a 9-0 lead for Atlanta in San Diego. Maybe more importantly, though, no near-death experiences for Matt Sims yesterday.
And for Matt Sims to go up 9-0, he lets you know his favorite target's Malachi. It's Mr. Jones and me for Matt Sims in Atlanta, and they were on upset alert in San Diego early.
Didn't last for too long, though.
He flips it to Gardner, who gets around left end. That's a first down. That's a touchdown! An 8-yard score for Jaquan Gardner.
And he wasn't done either.
Gardner, 5. Gardner reaching for the end zone, and he is in. A 7-yard score, his second of the fourth quarter.
Say it with me, Sean. All hands on deck.
All hands on deck. And I want you to check the tomatoes, check the broccolini, because the Gardner has planted himself atop that San Diego Fleet running back depth chart. Boy, oh boy, that had to feel good for San Diego and Mike Martz.
It was harvest time, 104 yards, those two touchdowns, 24-12, a bountiful win for Gardner and his fleet, the first in fleet history. Atlanta's 0-2, really missing Michael Vick's non-coaching. And now, for the latest, that's just scratching the surface after week two, across the set we go. D.A., what do you got for us?
Well, thanks, guys. Let's start in Memphis, where there's some real concerns about Christian Hackenberg as quarterback of the Express. 14 of 25 for 102 yards. Also caught on camera again cursing. This is 2 weeks in a row.
That's terrible.
We already had Charlie Ebersole mention that maybe there was going to have to be a seven-second delay for some players. They did not utilize that. They need that quick. Also, him being mic'd up all game long showed us some insight into why he's such a disaster. He was yelling and fighting with coaches about the plays and the hash marks they were running it from and everything else. Really gave you insight into why he's such a mess. Second point, Mike Singletary dropping 0-2. This man looks very sad. It's obvious around circles in the NFL and the AAF. When coaches are in a losing situation, they become very sad. Singletary is sad right now. That's what a lot of league sources are telling me. Number three, the halftime report for the Alliance on Saturday night had no audio. They went into the studio, no audio. They had a break out of the segment after 3 minutes of speaking and then come back from commercial where host Alex Flanagan said, everyone in this league is mic'd up except us. That was tough to hear.
Troubling.
I think that there's some frustration with some technical difficulties. Also, San Diego 24, Atlanta 12 last night, although you wouldn't know who won because both jerseys looked exactly the same. We had color on color where it was dark helmets, dark jerseys, and gray pants for both. Guys, I think if the league's going to get off the ground, we need to know which team is which.
Yeah. Well, rain didn't help either.
Rain didn't help, and I think it is budgetary concerns when it comes to making white uniforms. I'm not sure San Diego or Atlanta have white uniforms.
Is it possible there's only one uniform for every team?
It seems to be. No, Memphis is already showing a white and a blue, and I think Orlando as well. But, yeah, definitely troubling in Atlanta and San Diego. Big markets. Get new jerseys.
Our toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes. You could save 15% or more on car insurance. That was how we play Alliance Primetime every Monday here on the show. When we come back, was it perfect for Kevin Durant to win MVP last night? I'll tell you why next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.